Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. Schwelly does it again. This is the Morning Shift. I'm Bo Morgan. They call me Squid Billy. He's the All-American National Champion. He was a captain. He tries to boss people around like one. Former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson. She's the tofu queen. She wants to be recognized today, off a win, as the first lady of Atlanta baseball, Miss Allie Mack. And he's the vanilla hero, our producer, Dylon. And he waves like a prom queen. And we make up the greatest sports talk radio show the city has to offer. And in the mornings as well. The most balanced sports talk show in this city.
We certainly have the most interesting intro, for sure.
Why is that? Do you not like the way I do the intro? See, this is where the little tries to boss people around like a captain.
No,
comes from.
Man, I'm not the boss of anybody. I'm just along for the ride.
Well, then act like it.
Okay.
Bo, are you a little bit tired today? I know you had to do some extended hours yesterday here at 92.9.
That's what bosses do. That's what bosses do.
You know, what are you, Steak Junior? That's all Steak said. Did the boss, your management. I bet Steak complaining about people taking time off.
Well,
I'm like, really?
He kind of had to. I was listening to this. He kind of had to because you were patting yourself on the shoulder a little bit.
How was I patting myself on the
shoulder? You
were
feeling pretty good about yourself.
I got to ask you a real question.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Uh-huh. Ask me.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. It was it was longer. 17 years ago now. When I walked in and like on Cinco de Mayo, 2008.
Was that your first day?
Yeah. Did you think one day this guy's going to be hosting the show before mine, have to fill in with me and my boss in the flowchart?
Well, I would say this. If somebody had told me that, I would have said my life has taken a horrendous turn. Like I would have said, what I'd like to say, roll the tape forward. What has happened? That this young kid who's desperately trying to speak better English rolls in here, and then in 17 years, you'll be working for him?
I must have hit rock bottom.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
So much fun.
Dude.
So much fun.
Oh, man. It just, you know what? I knew we had that cut, and you just played into it perfectly.
Let me tell you something.
You're just, you know, calling everybody, thinking they're leaders and stuff, and you're like, I'm your boss in the flow chart. I was like, no.
Do you realize?
So good.
First off, and I think, I know Allie knows this better than anybody in this building, because she was there in that time.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know how much fun it is, A, just to host a show with Steak after, you know, literally grabbing him iced coffee when he would come in a little banged up.
Sure. Or
that time he was like, you know, there's an oil shortage and gas is like $5 and you can't get it at some gas stations. Remember that back in like with the hurricane?
Yeah.
And getting my Mercedes, go get me gas, and like the mirrors start moving and stuff, and I'm like, what is going on? That was before mirrors moved on cars. I'm like, hey, you turn the ignition and all of a sudden like things start moving, and I'm like, what did I do? I've never driven a Mercedes before in my life, and I'm like, well, what's happening? just to host the show, but the back and forth him and I are able to have now. So much fun. And
I would have said my life has taken a horrendous turn.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to have revisionist history, but there were bumps in the road there. I mean, you came out on the other end, but there were a bump. There's a bump or two in there.
Yeah.
But so much fun. I had so much fun.
Yeah, man. He's,
I loved doing that show with him.
I'm the same way, and I got to do it, obviously, Friday. But, you know, working with Steak, who obviously the first time I was ever on radio in Atlanta, I was with Steak and Sanders. So it was a lot of fun. And, you know, the conversation just flows. Steak's one of the better people at just conversing on radio because he's been doing it so long. It's like, you know, no big thing to him.
Yeah.
He just talking, just having a conversation. There just happens to be a microphone on in front of him. So that's what I love about Steaky.
But it does have to be really cool because I was there 17 years ago when you started as an intern, Bo, and I was an intern as well, and Steak would pull me on the show, and it always made me so nervous. But my show was like, if he's picking on you, it means he likes you. just go with it.
That is 100% true. I remember.
You guys lived a lot of lives in radio, man. A lot of lives.
Yeah. Dude, I remember being pulled aside by the producer of the show at the time, Adam Klug, who grew up in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Klug AK?
Yeah, I do.
They called him AK-47. I don't guess you can call him that anymore. It's not maybe what they want you to call people. But he pulled me aside and he was like, look, man, I don't think you're fit for, I don't think you're cut out for this. And I was like, why? He's like, you're not a very talkative person. And I was like, oh, yeah, I am actually. He's like,
did y'all work in the morning together?
Mm-hmm. He's like, why don't you talk? And I looked at him and I go, dude, I've been here like a week and a half. Like, I thought you wanted me to shut up and sit in the corner and do what you told me to do. And he's
right.
Like, no, I want you to talk. I want you to have ideas, give opinions. I go, well, why in the hell didn't you say so?
So it's all Adam's fault.
Fast forward.
Yeah.
Fast forward. Boy, you can't put that toothpaste back in the tube, right? Baby, like that.
Yeah.
I got to call him. What did you do?
Yeah. Funny how that, seriously.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you want me to talk?
Can't put that genie back in the bottle, buddy. That's that thing. Yeah. That flower has sprouted.
Well, we are going to get into a really fun topic today. We're handing out superlatives for our opponents for the Falcons this season. We're going to cover that. It's 6:20. But most importantly right now, besides Steak saying his life has gone terribly wrong if Bo Morgan is his boss, we have to talk about the Braves' win last night. 3-2 against the Mets, starting the series off on the right foot. Spencer Schwellenbach struck out the four Mets. He pitched 7 strong innings, and we were winning the whole game. Not once were the Mets ahead of us, but there was not a moment, guys, where I think I felt comfortable and that anyone could relax.
Yeah. I think you're spot on, and Lord knows, let's just all take a moment of pause for Dylan Lee. I mean, what an absolute just – this guy came in absolutely delivering in probably the most clutch situation that I think I've seen this season in terms of what he was asked to do in the eighth.
I'll say it. I'll say what I said on Twitter. If you need a job done, get a Dylan to do it.
You know what? You know what? You can't take credit for another Dylan's success.
Golly, it was so good.
I'm just saying, if you need a job done, get a Dylan, especially a Dylan that spells his name D-Y-L-A-N, to do it, and they're usually going to get it done. We're reliable.
You have more jobs to do right now, so let's go ahead and start working on those.
What's the other way to spell it?
D-I-L-L-O-N.
Yeah.
Oh, I do know a Dylan that spells it that way. Mm-hmm. He just had Tommy John surgery, and he doesn't play – he doesn't play baseball, so. Yeah.
Well, we'll get back to the D-Y-L-A-N. It took 8 pitches for him to finally strike out Juan Soto in the 8th inning. Were you holding your breath the whole time that was going? Oh, my gosh, it was so nerve-wracking.
It was awesome. You know, it reminded me, and I'm not comparing it in any way, but it reminded me kind of that Matzik moment in 21 against the Dodgers. Totally different. Totally different. I get it. But it was just being brought in. In a high leverage situation like that, where you really you're scraping for every win right now, and you're also desperately trying to find someone that can help you at the bullpen. And look, I didn't think Rozell Iglesias was bad at all. There weren't really hard hit balls. They were just well placed, and that's kind of what you want. You know,
it's kind of like I feel like we've seen from him the entire year, honestly.
No, except for those like 10 home runs he's given up, which has been an issue. But yeah, he's had moments, to your point, Mike, where it's absolutely spot on. We can't pass over the fact that Spencer Schwellenbach once again was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Once again goes 7 innings against the Mets. I believe 8 of his 16 starts have been quality starts or better. He now leads baseball in innings pitched. You know, it's really, he's an all-star. We talk about all this Chris Sale, Ronald Acuna Jr. stuff. I'm sorry, but where the hell is the love for Spencer Schwellenbach? And let's do talk about Ronnie because he just
I was going to say, I think, Spencer Schwellenbach's gotten plenty of love on this show. Ronald Acuna's in another stratosphere.
Well, I'm talking about
nationally right
because Chris Sale, you know, public everywhere else, Chris Sale and Acuna are the only ones that get talked about. And Schwellenbach deserves some love. But Ronnie, seventh home run in June. We predicted that. Oh, I did. Nine home runs since he's been back, and look, well, I think, and it's just been wild what he's done there. And Matt Olson as well is continued to play 25 games now on base.
Yeah.
It's been phenomenal. They got him in the two hole now, which is probably where he's going to stick for a while.
This just felt like, to me, watching this last night, this felt like a game that the Braves lose this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like everything they're – and you know, one of the better parts about it is New York threw their best bullpen arms last night. But and you could tell that they felt the same way that I felt. They were like, dude, this is here. This is a game that we need to go win. This is a game that the Braves have given up. And time after time, the first few innings at least, start looking at how many runners we left in scoring position with scoring opportunities. 11 runners left in scoring position yesterday for the Atlanta Braves. Michael Harris with a couple of outs. I've been brutally honest, I feel like, about Michael Harris. That one was a decently hard hit ball. But it just you continue to leave runners in scoring position time and time and time again, and then you get past the fifth inning and it feels like nothing's going right for you. And it just felt like a game that the Braves have lost this season.
Well, they have. They've lost 21 of those. They're 10-21. I think is the number. I think they've been in 31 1-run games.
I think it's more than that.
And it's just crazy.
It's maddening to watch at times with these guys at the plate. But again, that's where I fall back to give credit to Spencer Schwellenbach. And you know, Alex Anthopoulos said it last week. This is a pitching roster that is being dealt with situations where they cannot mess up at all. Starting pitchers, middle relievers, obviously guys at the end of the bullpen. Raisel Iglesias put in that situation yesterday. I thought that strikeout by Dylan Lee was one of the biggest at-bats of the entire season facing off for the Braves with the bullpen.
I apologize. They're 10-20, I think, is the number. That was their 30th in one-run game. And Dylan Lee, Mike, to your comment on that, I stopped. I just said comment. That was the first save this team has gotten since May 16th in Boston.
Wow. Well,
it's wild.
The four-game series continues tonight in New York. Spencer Strider on the mound against Frankie Montas, who is coming off the IL for his Mets debut tonight. We're going to continue to talk about that, but coming up, we are handing out our opponent's superlatives. Up first, we have the best running back that the Falcons will face. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mack, and Dylan at 6:22. I'm a little shocked that no walkie-talkies have been in the studio yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm only bringing this up because, yes, I'm a little bit jealous that you guys were playing with walkie-talkies this morning, and I don't have one.
Well, it's because you made fun of them yesterday, so you didn't get one today.
I didn't make fun of them. You guys just keep leaving me out.
And you know what's sad is I think you had enough for you to actually have one.
I did. We all forced to have one.
And you purposely held it from me.
I mean, you know, you come at me on the air, you pay the penalty.
Well, let's bring people into this conversation. I have a 4-pack of walkie talkies with headsets for races, and Bo wanted to get in on the fun, so he bought himself a 4-pack of walkie talkies and headsets and all the other stuff for the weekend at Echo Park Speedway.
That's not necessarily true.
I'm sorry. Did I?
I didn't want to get in on the fun. I had to. Like, had you had enough walkie-talkies, I would not have not spent any money.
Oh, I got what you're saying.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's on you for not having enough walkie-talkies
I didn't supply his. That's right.
Also, I will say, I know we got to get to the running back thing, but this is, what number NASCAR race is this for you and I together? 5? 6?
You count the Daytona rain out, probably, yeah.
Yeah, because that was a trip.
Yeah.
This is Talladega, Mike, last-minute guilt trip. State kind of guilt trip had tripped Mike and invite me to Talladega, like a month into this existence.
Yeah, we've been on air for a month. Like, I'm going to Talladega.
And I was like, man, that's cool. And Steak's like, why are you not inviting him? And he's like, oh, he's invited. I'm like, no, I'm not. Anyways, so I went on that. That was our first NASCAR trip. Went to Daytona in the next February. We went to Atlanta the next weekend. And then we did Atlanta again in February. And now we're doing this one. It's always been like the Daytona trip is something that I've done for years. And so it's always been kind of, it's our NASCAR fantasy group. Mm-hmm. And I just go. Well, this one is like some of our NASCAR fantasy group, some of my friends, and we're kind of a split group. So I've got a little more responsibility to bring stuff for some of my people.
Yeah, they schedule that that race on a Saturday night under the lights at 7 o'clock and everybody all of a sudden's interested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean?
No, I'm just saying that I think they did a great job having a summer race at night and, you know, not being during the day where we're cooking and everything like that in the stands. So I'm excited because this is something that's new. And he's right. I used to take a yearly trip to Daytona, and after watching the racing the last couple of years at Echo Park Speedway, my friends are like, we want to come see you. I'm like, all right, man, come on, let's change it. So we've started doing that recently the last couple of years.
That's awesome. Well, what I love is since you guys have gone to different races together, you're kind of like event buddies for this now, and you have your routine down pat. So I do appreciate all the thought and care that's going in. Yeah, exactly. I appreciate it, and I'm going to thoroughly enjoy watching you guys go through the race procedures this weekend.
Yeah. Well, you're probably going to have a walkie-talkie one night, like the Friday night, right, that you're going to be at the race, you and Grant for sure, and y'all might have to share. But no, look, it's fun, and Mike brings a lot of stuff. Like, I've been in the show up, and Mike's got everything. Now I'm having to carry Blinger a little more. You're definitely just going to show up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's going to be great for you. Just show up.
I have everything you need for an RV without the RV.
Nice.
You know
okay.
I mean? Like, every single thing. The love fire pits, that. The grills, the chairs, the rugs, the lights, the fans, the TV, the whatever. Like, all of it.
You're just the kind of the friend RV. Everybody wants.
Yeah. Well, unless you have a friend that has an RV.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we are going to be breaking down the Falcons' opponent's superlatives, like best quarterback, edge rusher, toughest place to play. But we've got a bunch that we're going to be going through. Today, we're going to start with the best running backs. Our opponents for 2025 got several, the Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers, Rams, Seahawks, Bills, Dolphins, Commanders, Cardinals, Colts, Patriots, Jets, 49ers, and Vikings. So out of those opponents, guys, which four teams have the best running backs?
Oh, God. I really struggled through this one. I did not think that when we started with running backs, I was like, oh, kind of, you know, soft landing, starting with running back. Dude, this is tough. Like, this might be the toughest one. This might be the toughest one to go through when you start cutting it down, because all these running backs, and obviously running backs as a whole, not trying to toot anybody's horn, but you kind of rely on what you're what your personnel up front can do for you, like, you know, sometimes on scheme. But when you start going top to bottom, you got to consider rookies that haven't played in the NFL yet that can make a splash. You got to consider vets that probably, you know, like a Christian McCaffrey that didn't play, what, four or five games last year that you consider still one of the better running backs in the league. And then you talk about guys like Alvin Kamara that you'll see twice a year, Bucky Irving, guys like that. And you could easily make this list all the way out to like 15 if you really wanted to. It was hard to dwindle down.
Yeah, I think the first thing I should say about this is this list is subject to change.
As are all of them.
I didn't put rookies on mine because I don't know. I just don't know. Like Buck, no, like last year, going into the Tampa game, we're like Rashad White's the guy. And because you're just kind of discovering what Tampa is, and it was still a little bit early, Bucky Irvin's the best running back on that team. And I don't think it's actually as close as I once would have believed. I went through every team that we face, and I pulled their best running back based on numbers and everything that I thought. And I left guys off and ended up highlighting eight, right? Players, which we've got to dwindle down. But I've left off guys like Breece Hall, James Conner.
Yeah.
Devon Achane. Like,
you left Conner off your list.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's tough, dude.
I did.
Yeah.
I did because I can't leave off Christian McCaffrey because him healthy is he's the best running back. He's one of the top four running backs in the league. But, I mean, you go look at some of these numbers, and do you know how many do you realize how good James Cook really is?
Oh, he's there's a reason he's got a holdout going on.
He had 18 touchdowns last year.
He's like, yeah. You're gonna pay that man his money.
You know, Alvin Kamara is a star. I mean, he had 1,500 all-purpose yards last year, and he missed a few games. And, you know, Kyren Williams for the Rams.
Good. Real good.
16 touchdowns all
total. He just barely missed my list, yeah.
And that's not even touching a guy like Chuba Hubbard and Jonathan Taylor and Aaron Jones. I mean, those
– Yeah.
I don't know where – I mean, do you just want me to give you my top eight or what? It's kind of dead.
Yeah, I mean, let's – I want to roll through it this way as well. I started doing research on this last night, started looking some things up this morning. I found a Pro Football Focus did an outlook towards the 2025 season based off what you think these guys can do in different offenses and things like that, what their, you know, the analytics say about it. Now, the good news is that according to their list, the Falcons don't play any of the top five running backs this year. You're not playing Derrick Henry. You don't have Saquon. Bijan actually ranks at number three, which is nice to see. Jahmyr Gibbs and Josh Jacobs. The problem is that you then face every single one of the next seven on the list when you go I think 6 through 13, and so that becomes terrifying. But yeah, I mean, it was tough. I definitely had Bucky Irving on mine. The fact that I actually gave bonus points to him for the fact that you are facing him twice. Alvin Kamara was not quite there for me. I did include Christian McCaffrey. James Conner. Is on my list. I think he is extremely underrated, what he's been able to do. And he's been consistent over the last few years. And then a guy you didn't even mention, and correct me if I'm wrong, Devon Achane from the Miami Dolphins. I think the way he runs and his ability matched up with what I feel like the limitations have been of the Falcons' defense, that's terrifying.
I have Chuba Hubbard over him.
Yeah. Well, and that's fine. I think they're kind of similar. Not scat back for Chuba Hubbard, but game-breaking ability with the way they can get north and south in a hurry and get downhill. And they have that athleticism, the open space that, you know, you're not going to see from necessarily a – and I, look, all these guys are athletic, but some of them, the Jonathan Taylors, the Breece Halls of the world, run more downhill. Chuba Hubbard and Devon Achane, to me, are both guys that are terrifying because the Falcons can be had up the middle. And when they break loose, you better have somebody at the second and third levels that can tackle them or they will take it to the house.
The guys I got to dwindle from are Bucky Irvin, Aaron Jones, Chuba Hubbard, James Cook, McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Kamara.
I don't think Aaron Jones belongs on that list.
I disagree.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be 31 years old this year?
Yeah, he was a 1,500-yard all-purpose running back last year.
Yeah.
I didn't just mix in running. Like, how are they out of the backfield as a receiving threat? And Aaron Jones was pretty good in that category last year. I mean, that's where Kamara comes into play for me as well. Because I think when people realize, dude had 68 catches, Kamara did for 500 and almost 50 yards. Yep. So it's not just one or the other. It's both for me. That's kind of that's why it was tough to leave Breece Hall out, because he does both as well. And really, if you look it through it, all these guys are, for the most part, able to do it. Like, you know, Achane had almost 80 catches last year and six touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, like, dude, he's on my list. He's on my top whatever list as we continue to dwindle this down. And look, I mean, we talked about you didn't have running backs. Travion Henderson's probably the only guy, I think, when I look at the schedule from top to bottom, Travion Henderson – drafted by the New England Patriots. He'll be battling with Ramondre Stevenson. I expect them to kind of be 1A, 1B. But, you know, he's a guy that also I feel like is going to do a ton of things. So there's some – I already got that. And Allie, you'll learn this in the fall being on the show. Bo and I think both get a little bit nervous when it comes towards the weekend, towards getting in game time, because mm-hmm. you want the Falcons to win so bad in some of these situations. You label them must-win games and must-win scenarios that I already started getting some of that feeling making this list.
Yeah.
I was like, dude – tell you what, when this guy comes to town, I'm going to be a little bit nervous, man, because this guy has game-breaking ability. And hopefully this Falcons defense and the Stevens in front will be up to the task of stopping some of these guys.
Yeah, you're going to need it. Look, most of these offenses, no matter how most, Miami would probably be one that I wouldn't necessarily – I just don't know what – he's just so weird what he wants to do, McDaniel. But most of these offenses are run first offenses disguised as pass happy. And it's like the Rams. We talked about the remember when we talked about the Falcons last week, and I asked you, are the Falcons not a run first team that people think is a little bit more pass happy? And I thought you agree with me. Well, Mark Schlereth was on later that day with Dixon Bell, and he was like, the Rams offense is a power run game disguised as a spread offense. And that's exactly what, you know, most of these teams are. It's what Tampa Bay has become. That's what the Panthers are with Canales there. The Rams are already that. You know that. This is where it starts. Win the game.
Well, I'm going to need you both to really look at your list and start to figure out how you're going to whittle it down.
No.
You have less than a half hour. We're going to continue this conversation at 7 a.m. of the Falcons' opponents' best running backs. Coming up next, though, the new trailer drop for Netflix's quarterback series. We're getting a closer look into the Kirk Cousins situation from last year. And we've got my Allie Mack dropping. Man, we may have bitten off a little bit more than we can chew over at Macaulay Manor. I'm going to need some help. So that is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. You've got Mike here. Bo is here. I'm here, Allie Mack. And so is Dylan behind the glass. In a minute, I'm going to need some serious help. I moved a timeline up probably way too early. Already sent a few texts out. And now Grant and I have a major task to accomplish. I'll get to that in my Mac drop momentarily. But we do have to jump into the front page. We have a lot of headlines to cover. All right, Netflix's quarterback series is back. It is going to get interesting. We have Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow, Detroit Lions, Jared Goff, but the one we care about, Atlanta Falcons, Kirk Cousins.
That's my quarterback.
Let's go, baby!
And we found there's an opportunity that would be a longer commitment.
This one is over. Tap it up.
What? Were we surprised when the NFL draft happened?
Somebody tried to break into Joe Burrow's house.
Our backs are against the wall.
Turn it back on now.
We fight, no cap!
That's what we're here for right here.
When the noise disappears, everything is falling right into place.
Let's go!
Now we're playing ball.
Hey, you like that?
This was a hard-earned Roy Rogers.
Something made me laugh when he was like, you know, it's a longer commitment. Obviously, there's other quarterbacks mixed in there, but with the, you can hear Cousins say, yeah, we just looking for someone with a longer commitment.
Dude.
Yeah, and that was just the trailer. The whole thing is going to be released July 8th. Do you think we're going to learn a little bit about what really happened last season and how Kirk was really reacting behind the scenes?
I didn't think so before I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you guys, like one of the first things they show is him getting hit in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Getting blindsided. And that's the hit that he said injured him for the remainder of the season. I don't know. If you feel like you see little snippets or little Easter eggs in trailers, then I'm like, okay, yeah, they're going to talk about that because that's definitely a massive part of the season.
Well, remember a lot of times, like with some movies these days, the trailer is the movie and you get the best part. Now, what I would say is I think you'll get a real honest for the first time, viewpoint of how he felt when Penix was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you might get a little bit of insight of how he was feeling after the Saints game that he got hurt in. But I'm not going into this expecting any earth-shattering news or anything that will affect his relationship with the team moving forward. Because remember, the editorial control is Kirk Cousins and Joe Burrow and all these guys in it. They have editorial control. They can cut things out.
Yeah.
So
you know what really struck me as I'm watching the trailer and really throughout this entire thing, because the Falcons have obviously had a quarterback on this before, Marcus Mariota. I'm thinking about this and realizing that Kirk Cousins is going to be on here, and I'm going, can we just get through a season without the starting quarterback being benched? You know what I mean?
That's a fair question.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It has been a while since we've been through a season in Atlanta without the starting quarterback being benched.
Yeah, who was the last one?
It's just frustrating, man. And I'm sure we'll learn plenty about it, but I'm just sitting there looking at Michael Penix going, dude, if you can just deliver us 17 games this year, that you'll be a hero.
It's why I tell people, don't run out franchise quarterbacks. Some did not appreciate Matt Ryan. And I remember I did say to people that I was like, y'all are going to miss him when he's gone, and we have missed him desperately the last 3 or 4 years. Hopefully, it's solved. Hopefully.
Yeah, and I think, look, we said the same thing last year. Hopefully, it's solved. And it wasn't. And I think it's a tough pill to swallow. So, yeah, when I'm watching that trailer, and obviously I'm excited about it, and I think we'll watch probably every minute of it, but, you know, they start hearing West Durham fire. Oh, touchdown, Falcons. Yeah. Like, yes! Yes, and then you start realizing what the end of the season looked like, and you see, you know, Kirk's wife on there, and she's talking about, you know, it's not all on him, but it's a lot on him.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, okay, yep, I know that story.
I also have to point out, I have a conspiracy theory starting up when it comes to Netflix documentaries. If you sign up for one because you think you're about to have a great season, you're not.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers with Enigma, Marcus Mariota. There was a series about tennis players, and the next tournament, they all like completely botched it. So if you sign up for a Netflix documentary, just be aware.
I'll say this too. Documentaries on Netflix, especially sports ones, they used to be special. There's one about every single person now. Like there's not a person out there in sports world where I can't find a documentary on them. I'm just like, you know, it just is what it is. And every one of them's like battled against something. I don't know. I'm a little bit oversaturated with some of the documentaries.
What if I told you?
Yeah.
From the small town of Pensacola.
Yeah, there you go.
Turned into a
he
captain,
beat all odds.
Was a national champion. Injuries got his career, and now he hosts a radio show with the most interesting man in the Southeast.
That
would be me. I would be the most interesting man. You would host a show of me.
They all battled something, man, and it all turns out they're Clarence from 8 Mile. It's like, dude, you know.
What? What?
Yeah, man, you know what I mean? Like, his parents are married. He went to a private school, you know, like.
Yeah.
You did not just go there. You really just dissed everybody with that.
He just dropped like, up off the dock line.
Like, how many times can we see a trailer where it's like, he overcomes everything? And you're like, all right, dude, just calm down.
Well, at least you didn't call them a Cheddar Bob. I mean.
I guess so. I don't know. Anyways.
I'm not
expecting much, I guess, is what I'll say.
You watched 8 Mile when it came out.
I did, of course.
I did. We and Amy were, a couple Christmases ago, we sat down and we're like, was it like a cabin retreat for a couple of days? And like 8 Mile popped up on Netflix. I was like, oh, let's just watch this. And we get like 10 minutes into it. She's like, I've never watched this. I was like, what?
8 Mile is one of those movies. Wow. If I see it on, I got to go to it. Like, I can't pass over 8 Mile.
I feel that way about almost any musical biopic movie. Mm-hmm. Like Bohemian Rhapsody, I'll watch. Walk the Line with Johnny Cash. Like,
Walk the Line is so good.
So good.
I fell in love with Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, I think
we
all did.
Until she
had that incident.
Straight Outta Compton was good too. I like Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton was phenomenal.
Yeah,
but Straight Outta Compton was so good because they like Ice Cube and Dre, they had real like input on that. I mean, yes. O'Shea Jackson
played his father.
A friend of the show because he has retweeted. retweeted the show account.
Yeah, it's something that we didn't even do. I don't know.
Thank
weird.
God we were not involved in that.
No kidding. That's one.
Where are we at on Get Rich or Die Trying? Anybody like that movie?
Oh, I like Get Rich or Die Trying.
Yeah, it's solid.
I think it's solid. It's not the best.
It's not the realm of the others.
It's okay, not the best one.
We talk way too much. I don't know.
What is the best music document? Music movie?
Sounds like a top five you need to put together, Bo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll do it.
Coming up.
Speaking of which, Mike has a top five Tuesday coming up at 7:40 today. But back to the front page. Hawks GM Ansi Salah talked about the importance of adding size to the team through the draft and free agency.
I think there are ways that you could build a team that you don't need traditional types of things. In the sense of, like, we do have some long athletic guys out there, which is really interesting for our defense and our play style moving forward. Yeah, when we get to that point in our season, and we'll address some things there, but I feel really good about a lot of our group moving forward. We are a very young group that is still developing, and I think that's important to realize here. But really excited for Onyeka. Really excited for Onyeka.
Yeah, I'm excited for Onyeka too. I don't know, Dylan. You tell me. I I feel like when you look at what the Hawks' possibilities are in the draft, it seems like they have to be kind of reactionary in terms of who kind of falls to them.
Yeah, they really do. And I hope they go – I definitely need another big. It was interesting to hear him point out specifically Onyeka, because I do think Onyeka is one of those players that can definitely be an X factor for this team. So it was good to hear him call out Onyeka specifically. But with that said, though, I would like to see them go after another big, because I do think if they aren't planning to get a big in free agency, and they still very could, I still think they need a developmental big, because let's be honest, Clint Capella is not coming back. I'm not sure about how the new front office, how Ansi Salah feels about Muhammad Gay. I personally like Muhammad Gay. I like his upside.
He's raw but explosive.
Exactly. He shows a lot of upside. He's very raw, very green, but he can shoot the three. He has a nice presence down low, can be a shot-blocking presence. So I do still think you need a developmental big, though, at the end of the day, and a point guard.
Mm. Well, and the Celtics are trading Drew Holiday to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Interesting one right there, man. That's an up-and-coming team trading a young guy. Drew Holiday. I guess they're going for it now. I don't know.
I think this is actually a very good upgrade. And I say upgrade because Anthony Simons is obviously on the up and up as a 26-year-old, really good guard, can shoot the three. He's going to fit very well in that Joe Mazzulla offense. As we know, the Celtics love to shoot the three, live and die by the three. Solid three-point shooter, can handle the ball, can create his own. So it's not going to necessarily do anything for them next year, obviously, because Tatum's going to miss basically the whole year. But when Tatum comes back and you talk about Anthony Simons, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, you know, throwing a Peyton Pritchard and a Derek White in the mix, I think that's a solid reload piece for the Boston Celtics, because we know Drew Holiday was he's on the back nine of his career, if we're just being honest. So they kind of offloading that contract and bringing in somebody fresh and new. So I like that move for the Celtics. And Drew Holiday, they'll probably find – I'm guessing maybe the Trailblazers find a way to buy him out and try to put him with a contender.
Ooh. I didn't think about that.
Guys, we might be in for it over at Macaulay Manor.
Woo.
In our new house. We've been there 2 months. We haven't really had anyone over, so we're going to do a little soft launch. Family get-together. It's not a housewarming.
What?
It's just a little post-July 4th cookout for our family, because they're required to love us no matter how the house looks.
You know what I hear, Bo? I hear, I don't want to offend you guys, so I'm going to tell you it's family. That's what I just heard. Let's be real honest here. There's going to be friends there.
No.
Not one friend?
Not one friend. No.
All family.
So I don't know if you know this, Mike, but I'm from a massive family. There are five of me running around. My parents had five kids.
Good for them.
So they are coming over with their kids. Like, it's a massive ordeal to have my entire family over, and Grant's parents are going to be in town as well. So everyone. And currently, we don't have a kitchen table, nor do we have a grill at our house. Not sure how to transport that.
Invite comes with SRO, standing room only.
Exactly. It's general admission over at Macaulay Manor.
Well, you just got to get a truck. I mean, that's what you need. You see, that's how you transport those things. But I no longer volunteer my services to help.
I've been taken out before. Yeah. Been taken out.
I think we're going to get a U-Haul or something to bring the grill over. But because you guys, we've been talking about it all week. We're going out to Echo Park Speedway. You are hosting a bunch of friends. What are some key things that we need to include for a good cookout? Like, what are some great ideas when you've gone to someone's house and you've walked away going, man, that was so fun.
Well,
what did they have?
First off, don't over, like, just simplify it all. Like, just cook
I agree.
Whatever, like, burgers and dogs and whatever tofu thing that you want, like, simplify it. Because you don't worry about having to cook this big, fancy, you know, meal with, like, ribs or whatever. I would tell you, like, drinks. I mean, most people BYOB, but now you can have a cooler.
Yeah.
Cokes and little cold beers. And
I got a tip, and you'll meet our buddy Doug that'll be at Echo Park Speedway. I got a tip from Doug one time that said, turn main courses into finger foods. And I thought, like, and then I went to his house and brought my buddy Donaldson came with me, and he, like, went out to the grill and he cooked his steak and his veggies or whatever else it is. And then he came inside to a cutting board right there in the middle of the table and chopped a steak into bite-sized pieces of steak. And he had little toothpicks to go in. And I was like, there you go.
That's smart.
A main course into a finger food. So, yeah, I mean, biting off more than you can chew, probably without a table, but I'm sure you'll get there.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
I mean, if nothing else, you'll just buy one of those pop-up $40 guys from Target and And everybody will be happy because they're your family.
But what exactly? Because they're my family. It's right. All family, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's always easier and worse.
Any family. Activities we need to set up because...
Yeah, like cornhole?
Cornhole.
No, they don't even have a table. You think they got a cornhole
set? Keep in mind, we also have the excavation going on in the backyard as well. So they're...
are they all Braves fans?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, minus my dad, poor guy. He's a Pirates fan.
Why
didn't he tell me that at the Lazy Dog?
Well,
kind of offended.
I mean, I don't know why you're offended. Allie told us that before we went to Lazy Dog on the air. But
thanks
yeah,
for
you know,
along, Bo. Thank you.
Having the game on would be nice.
Yeah.
That's why I asked because I was like, you know, everybody's gonna want to see that.
That's true.
But look, just have some. I don't know because you don't have a table. So do you have your stereo set up? Do you have a speaker?
What do you put the TV on?
I have a little Bluetooth speaker that's about the size of my hand.
Now we're talking. Although,
you can
be very
get one
careful.
Of those. If you can get one of those, the Echo, the I can't remember the studio. I think is what it's called. It's a pretty good size speaker. Hooks to your Wi-Fi. You play off your phone, and it you can hear it very well. So
that's
would be good.
Best, yeah, that's the best part about hosting is you get to have the aux.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
I just don't know where your food's going to go.
We'll have to figure it out. If you have any suggestions on what we need at this little cookout that we're having over at Macaulay Manor, feel free to tweet me at 929 Morning Shift. And coming up, we are handing out the best running back superlative to one of our opponents this season. Bo and Mike need to whittle that down next on Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.